Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our life. This morning we ask for light, revelation, and understanding. That we can share and impart revelation, understanding of your word. And that those who hear can know you more. We give you the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's continue. If you remember where we were on the book of Job. So our study series, what happened with Job, and it's a good way to explain it, because with so many natural disasters, hurricanes and the such, people blaming God, and many Christians say, why, if God is so good, why does he send hurricanes? Well, before going to the book of Job, I'm going to share a little something with you. Go to the book of Romans, and it has to do with this, on understanding better with what happened with Job. Job, Romans, chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 16, or verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, with our glorified body that we will have. So now verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So notice how it's talking about the creation itself, that eagerly waiting of creation. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of creation who subjected in hope. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that of creation, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting. Whoa. Yeah, thank you. Eagerly waiting for the adoption, as what it's saying here, the redemption of our body. Everything that's going on, every disgrace that's happening, is because the earth is under curse. Again, one more time, it's because the earth is under curse. And when did it fall under the curse? Under Adam. It wasn't God. God is not the cause of the perversity that happens in the world. God is not the cause of hurricanes and killing people and children. And animals, cats, and horses, and all that, and people. God is not in that. But there are millions and millions and millions and millions, not just Christians, but people in general around the world. They'll say, well, why did, if God is so good, it's talking about, now, in verse 23, not only that, of speaking of creation, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit, but this body, your body, my body, have not been born again. Which is why we have to use our faith and our authority to speak to our body. Because this body can sometimes hurt. Sometimes you don't sleep well. Sometimes your bed isn't comfortable or whatever. Because this is a mortal body. And creation is under cursing. And the author of creation is named Satan. But who gave him a doorway? Now that we're here in Romans 5, Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as though one man sin, through one man sin entered in the world, so that one man is Adam, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. So we've studied this for many years. As to say, man started to procreate with children full of cursing. Because that cursing was already in them, in their body. Which is why we have to be born again and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. No one will be saved by being good or going to hell by being bad. People struggle to understand that. There is nothing of a balance in heaven where if your acts were good, you go to heaven. If your acts were bad, you go to hell. No one goes to hell for that. And no one goes to heaven for that. Be it heaven or hell, it has to do with the nature that we have inside of us. Amen. Now, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who have not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. So what happened? Why was all this going on? Because to this day, earth is under Satan, under the stronghold of Satan. So now let's go back to Job chapter 2, and it's astounding the amount of people frustrated and mad with God. Perhaps a mother lost their daughter, their son, their grandchild, their niece of a cancer, an illness, and then in church, the priest or the pastor said God took them. Have you heard of that before? So Job 2, verse 7, that's where we left it off. Oh, actually verse 6. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. Religion always says, but guard his soul. So he said, but behold, he is in your hand, but spare his soul. But it says spare his life. So he says here again, behold, he is in your hand. We saw in chapter 1 as well, Job 1:12. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on him, as to say, do not kill him, literally. And it clearly tells you in Job 1:12 and Job 2, 6 and 7, in 7, so Satan. So some people, religiously speaking, they'll say, yeah, it's true. God is not the one that caused all this evil on Job. But he permitted it. But it's basically the same thing. It sounds very similar. At the end of the day, who's responsible according to tradition and religion? God. It's God. Well. And actually, today's title, I don't know if they put it. Yeah, they did. Okay. Well, don't put it again. They already put it. That's what this is based on. God is not the one who sent all this cursing on him. God did not send bad things to Job. So verse 6, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand. Again, he is in your hand. So let's go back again. Remember, let's continue repeating, because unfortunately the majority of Christians are not disciples. They forget things. But in 1 John 5, verse 19, and again, we already saw it. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one, under Satan. Which is why you see so much perversion in the world. And our Lord Jesus Christ said that the cursing would continue. I'm almost 50 years old. It was rare when I was a kid, when you would hear that teenagers of 10, 12, 13 years old were assaulting people or robbing a store. It was very rare, very rare. It's like, what? You wouldn't hear things like that. Now you see it. Why? Because cursing has increased. And because we have a generation of parents very, very different to our generation of parents. I don't know if you noticed back then, parents would hit us with our belt. Now you get thrown in jail if you spank your child. But look how in schools, teachers can't say anything. There we go. So YouTube can't cancel my video. And it's true. Just here in Douglas. Would you imagine that some of you who grew up here in Douglas hear that a kid would commit suicide due to bullying? Would you imagine that? How in high school there would be a bathroom for transgender? No, you wouldn't have imagined that about 30 years ago. We have parents as well. Many of the things that happens in our youth has to do with the parents. The first education starts at home. Everything is at home. Next, in church. And then at the end, at school. But don't put your hopes in our school system. Modern parents have it all backwards. They think that it's school, church, and then them. And then them at home. But it's not like that. It's not how the Bible says it. But we're going to see it in our next series on a new creation. So notice again here. He is in your hand. In Job 2:6. God was not telling Satan, "Oh, attack Job because he's right there. You have him right there. Attack him." No, more so he was giving a true declaration. A declaration that was true. As in, it was a declaration that it was as is, because that's what was going on at the time. And still. So we saw it last time, just to review this. In Luke chapter 4, during the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to read all of it, but Luke 4, verse 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, as in the Lord Jesus Christ here, the devil taking him up to a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, "All this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish." So whom was all this delivered to? All the authority. All this authority given to? Through Adam. Adam gave it to him from the fall. So as you know, those who have been here for years, I've taught this for many years. When God created man, human being, he gave them authority over the earth. But man delivered that authority to Satan. So now God, and to this day, is limited. Amen. Now let's return to Job. Chapter 2. And one of the most harmful doctrines in the churches is that of the sovereignty of God. Amen. One of the most harmful doctrines in the churches is the sovereignty of God. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Those soles are kind of like scars or gashes and wounds. So he suffered because he couldn't be lying down or standing up. He didn't know how to be because he had pain all over his body. Now verse 8, and he took for himself a postrid with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Oh. There are many Christians cursing God, and there are many people in the world cursing God because they're frustrated. And he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. You speak as one of the foolish women speaks." So here comes another verse that Christians use a lot in their churches. And again, not criticizing anyone. This is just that many, many of you, including myself, come from there. And I'm speaking that they use this verse of what Job said. Amen. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. The reason why Job says in many occasions, Job did not sin with his lips, or simply because Job did not know. God did not take it into account. But the devil did. You know what he took in account? And we'll reach that point. The bitterness, what he spoke. The bitterness in his heart. What was the issue with Job that we saw in the first few sessions? You remember, it was fear. Job was fearful. And we can say that it was his mouth. We could say that with his mouth, and it's true. But let's have some discernment of this. What happened with him was what he spoke was because it was what was in his heart. And what he had in his heart was because of his way of thinking. And I've told you for many years, your way of thinking will take you to death. It will get you into situations, or will lead you to forms of thinking based on the Bible will lead you to go ahead. And again, here comes another point that I'm going to say. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say it because I'm going to lose time. It's very good with what I'm speaking on. It has to do with 3 John 2. Beloved, I desire above all things that you have health just as your soul prospers. So this has to do with how you renew your mind. You will not have health, or you will not walk in better health or healing than in illness up until you change your way of thinking with the Word of God. So, again, in verse 7, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So, in Numbers, without losing your spot, in Job 2, verse 7, let's go to Numbers. Did I go to Numbers or not? I'm trying to remember something. Numbers. Is it fine if I go to Numbers or not? Yes, okay. Chapter 16. I'm not going to read the whole story because I'm going to lose all my time there. But there was a man named Kore, and he caused many problems. And God had some issues with Korah because he was going against Moses. And going against Moses, he was going against God himself. So Moses was the type of pastor of the people of Israel. And Moses was the one hearing from God. But Korah, one of the leaders of there, was actually a cousin of Moses. So he said, well, I can also hear from God. The issue is God had entrusted that mission to Moses. And Korah was supposedly there just to support the vision, not to divide it. And he started bringing division. And what happened here, his judgment came upon him. And in one part of Numbers, is very interesting in chapter 16. It's true that when you read it, the Old Testament, you'll see things that God caused, literally. And there's a specific reason. The specific reason is Jesus had not come. And God had to deal using judgment. But now in the second covenant, all judgment fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not sending hurricanes to deal with the people of North Carolina and Florida and like that. Better said, those hurricanes have centuries and centuries and centuries. Things like these happened, especially during this time of year. Why? It has to do with the fall of man. No, it's not climate change. Amen. Since I have reasoning, I'm almost 50 years old, in Phoenix, it's the same heat that we have in summertime, in Tucson, in Hermosillo, wherever there, it's always been a literal oven. One day they asked someone, where are you from? Is it true that you're from Hermosillo? No, I said, I'm from Ovencillo. An oven. Well, there's more people, there's more technology, so heat increases by a bit. But it has nothing to do with what the world is saying. Glory to God. It's creation, it's the world that's under cursing. We already saw it. It's what the Bible says, and I believe God. How many of you believe God and what He says? I believe God more. Amen. Unless you're one of those who just says, well, I don't believe the Bible, then there's nothing for you. But as we saw, judgment came from God. But over time, these people, speaking here in Numbers, it continued bothering. So, in verse 41, it says, on the next day, 1641, on the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. They had their hearts so hardened that they didn't even realize that their consequences was of their own actions. You have killed the people of Israel. Now it happened when the congregation had gathered against Moses and Aaron that they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, go away from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. So you can understand this word, to consume them, from the Hebrew, better said, it's a permissive term here in this part. Make myself understood. And I'll show it to you right now. We'll consume them in a moment, and they fell on their faces. So Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For the wrath has gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. Remember how I told you not to lose your spot there in Job 2:7? Notice how it says, so the fury has gone out from the Lord. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So back to Numbers 16. The fury has gone out, or the wrath has gone out from the presence of the Lord. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So, and then he went against Job. So now in verse 10, Job 2:10. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept the adversity? So let's analyze this. James, in James 1:17, it says, all good works descends from above. Help me with the New Living Translation. Whatever is good and perfect. So do you think hurricanes, acts against children, natural disasters, do you think that's all good? Well, of course not. But we have millions and millions of pulpits and pastors and ministers. And again, I'm not criticizing. It's true what I'm saying. Again, I'm making a true declaration. Blaming God. Why'd you remove it? Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. So people say, oh, God sent this hurricane to deal with the people of North Carolina. Do you truly believe that? God is not dealing with people like that. God deals through His Word. God deals to the Word and with the Holy Spirit. And if they're people of the world, He deals with them through the preaching of the Word. And creation itself tells you every day that there is a God. So in Matthew 7, verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among of you who his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Will no one. Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent? Well, no parent would ever do that. If you then, being evil compared to God, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Is illness a good thing? Is cancer a good thing? Poverty, extreme poverty, is that a good thing? Where you don't even have the bare minimum? Where you suffer heat? And there are millions of people who blame God. Amen. Good. Because I've heard Christians who say when there's a disgrace, they'll try to deal with them and say, brother, remember that the Bible says that Job said that we should receive, should we not receive the good and the evil from God? Well, me in religion, I was tired of that saying. Perhaps you aren't, but I am. I mean, I heard it so many times. So what was the issue here? One more time. His mouth. Someone say amen. Another verse. 1 Thessalonians 5. Thank you, Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5. A very badly applied verse here. When they apply it, they also say it like this. 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Notice how it says, for everything. So, in everything. So, in every time, you give thanks. Not because of the disgrace that you're going through. Not because of the illness, but you give thanks because God already provided an exit in Christ. Hallelujah. And you say, glory to God. In this situation, I am more than a conqueror. Thank you, Lord. The favor of God is with me. Glory to God. The grace of God is with me. Unmerited favor of God. And I have the wisdom to get out of this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And you give thanks to God. Not for the disgrace. Not for the bad things, but because God provided an exit in Christ, and we are more than conquerors. Amen. Now, Job, chapter 3. And this, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day on his birth. Job 3, verse 1. And 2, and Job spoke and said, now in English, it's much more difficult to explain it. You say curse. But in Spanish, it's much easier. You speak bad. You're literally speaking bad. To speak bad from the Spanish root. When it comes to blessing, you speak good. Glory to God. And Job spoke and said, now, do any of you have a timer? Just to take time for a few seconds. If you have it, tell me. Now, okay. Oh man, my back hurts so much. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Oh, what pain. Oh, my head hurts so much. I don't know how this day is going to go. Let's see what happens. Okay, that's it. Thank you. Stop it. Now, reset it. Amen. Ready? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you because I am healed of this pain in my back. I believe this is the day that the Lord has made. I rejoice and am glad in it. Thank you, Father. I am in agreement with you and your word, and I go ahead in this situation. If you see the time, you'll see that it's the same. You'll spend more time in cursing than blessing your life with the Word of God. Now, verse 3, may the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived. May that day be darkness. May God above not see it, nor the light shine upon it. One time I heard a Christian say, why did my mother not sit upon me when I was born? Wow. And I asked her, are you related with Job by any chance? Etc. Now, all of chapter 3, Job starts speaking of cursing. If you read it, the whole chapter is just Job speaking cursing. It was just asking nonsense and speaking stupidity. Now, go to verse 23. Now, you at home read the whole chapter. But Job 3:23. Why is light given to a man in the form of a question, whose way is hidden, and whom God has hedged in? So God hedged in. Notice, and whom God has hedged in. In John 8:36, John 8:36, there we go, thank you, that's the one. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So how are you hedged in or closed in? So people read it like this because Job said it. And again, have some mercy on Job. Remember how I told you in our first session, it's not based on criticizing or judging him. But we can learn how this applies to us because this is in the Bible for something. This can apply to us on how not to speak, how Job was speaking, how not to speak cursing. In the middle of a circumstance, you speak the solution. Verse 24, Job 3:24. For my sighing comes before I eat, and my groaning pours out like water. And here we go. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes, which is what we saw in our last sessions. Now, chapter 4. Now, remember how we saw it? How the Bible mentions it, those friends that arrived during the disgrace. That's how 4:1 says, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if one attempts, now, in chapter 4, in chapter 5, this man named Eliphaz is speaking. And if you're in a problem and you're speaking cursing, these passages, the Holy Spirit reveals to us, that you don't try to bring other foolish and carnal Christians to give you advice. Amen. They're going to sink you in more. One of the things that Eliphaz said, verse 4:9 of Job, by the blast of God they perish. Well, I mean, what did this guy eat garlic or something? And by the breath of his anger, they are consumed. So, John 20, let's see in John 20, oh man. Verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So Eliphaz said here, the friend of Job, they perish by the breath of God. By the blast of God, they perish. Yeah, here it is. Thank you, Lord. Exodus 15, a song from Moses and Maria. And I'll explain something on them too. Glory to God. Exodus 15, verse 8. And with the blast of your nostrils the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright, like a heap, the depths in the heart of the sea. Now this psalm was recognition when they were rescued by Pharaoh, when he opened the sea, the Red Sea, for the escape of the Israelites, if you remember. Pharaoh was chasing the people of Israel, Pharaoh and his army, from Egypt, and there was a rescue. Was that rescue a good or bad? Well, it's something good. But here, Eliphaz, the friend of Job, Job was very carnal, very hurt by what was happening to him, blaming God, frustrated by the situation and blaming God. And then his friend didn't help him much. Careful with those Christian friends that are going to tell you God is testing you. God wants to teach you something with it. Can you see that there? Now, another point. Thank you, Lord. I'm making pauses because I want the Lord to help me with this. The very important points that you have to understand. The first covenant, or in the Old Testament, you have to understand something. You will see that there are times people will say things very good. Very good. But they'd also say some very bad things. Why? Because they did not have the whole revelation. They did not have the Spirit of God working in them, which is a very, very important point to understand. The first point we need to understand. Now go to 2 Samuel, chapter 22. This was a song of liberation from David. Psalms 22, verse 14. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and He vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundation of the world were uncovered, and the rebuke of the Lord at the blast of the breath of His nostrils. So what I'm trying to say here is, they sometimes sing and say, he freed me from this situation, but then they'd also blame Him. They didn't have the full revelation. Now let's continue. I want to show you something good that Eliphaz said. I'll show you something good. Do you want to see something good? Go to chapter 5 of Job. So, which is why you sometimes speak some things where you're like, well, what nonsense is this guy saying? And then he says some very good things. Look at something very good that Eliphaz said. Chapter 5, verse 8. But as for me, I would seek God. Amen. And to God I would commit my cause, who does great things, verse 9, and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends waters on the fields. He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the devices of the crafty. The crafty are those who have knowledge of evil, as how the Lord called Herod a fox, cheater. That their hands cannot carry out their plans. He catches the wise in the negative. in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them. So he says something good here. But we just read in the chapter before this, where he said, by the blast of God, they perish. Amen. Now we're going to see something here that Eliphaz himself said in 5, verse 17. Do you like to study it like this? Or am I going too fast for your liking? Or are we going good so far? Job 5:17. Behold, happy is a man whom God corrects. Okay, here. And therefore do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Oh. And from here, God corrects you with evil. Now, we're going to see something here. What Eliphaz said. The word here that God corrects. So how many of you grew up with that culture? Or even when you were a kid, where you did something wrong, something bad will happen to you, and they'd say either your mother, your father, your uncle, grandmother. So they'd say, you see, God is blaming you, because it was a cultural thing. But it's not God who's blaming you. It's the consequences of sin. Well, if you go and rob a bank, you're going to go to jail. Not that God is correcting you. They're called consequences. So what does this word correct mean? Well, in the Hebrew, this word corrects is better translated disciplines. God disciplines you. The very same context tells you, therefore do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Again, Proverbs 3:8-3:11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. So in the Old Testament, in the first covenant, in the same category, they would put the word correcting and scolding. And they're two completely different things. Correcting has nothing to do with scolding. All right. Or I don't know, perhaps I understand Spanish and English incorrectly, but to me, correcting and scolding are different. Now, people associate them, but according to me, it's not the same. A scolding carries something that will hurt you. Correction is different. Now, this same verse, 5, let's see if the New Living Translation has it. That verse. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. There we go. And do not be upset when he corrects you. It's very different to a punishment or scolding. And that's the idea that we have certain words. Something bad happens that, God is punishing you. And then, it's not a criticism. I'm just speaking on how it is. I mean, just due to ignorance, we're not criticizing our fathers, our grandfathers, or our families. And that's not my point. My point is, we use words so much that we sometimes give it a meaning that is not for it. Because we get used to using words and phrases, which is what we call a cliche. And you don't even realize of what you're saying. Amen. Because you're so used to just repeating it. Repetitive prayers. For example, in our culture, we use, I'm going to go to this place or tomorrow I'm going to come by with the favor of God. But we say it so much that we don't understand that it's a very powerful declaration to say favor. Favor or grace, it's the same thing. And if you truly believe it, saying with the favor of God, truly, you make emphasis, there's faith, there's confidence in that declaration, but we use it so much, so loosely. We use it so quickly, just, oh yeah, with the favor of God, with the favor of God. Because we think that our words are just formulas. They're formulas. Instead of understanding that words are something very powerful. Amen. Which is why I say like this when they tell me, oh, so-and-so passed away, or so-and-so has this. I quickly say, by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I will not have that illness. By the grace of God. Amen. You're depending on His grace and not by your own. By your own will. Look at what doesn't fit. It's what doesn't fit, what many Christians say. So-and-so passed away of this illness. And quickly, oh no, well, in the name of Jesus, that won't stick on me. That saying doesn't fit there. Well, in the name of Jesus is to express an authority. That doesn't fit. But you guess what? It's used so much. It's used so much, not just to express authority, but are you rebuking something there? Are you casting out an illness? No. You're just saying, "But I believe that by the grace of God, I will not have it." This. You see how we use it so much? It's so repetitive that people just say it and they don't even realize that they're vain words. They're vain. They're vain repetitions. The same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said, the Bible. Hallelujah. So we're in Proverbs 3. What? 3:11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His corrections. Now, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects. Were we with that version or were we with another? There we go. New Living Translation. Joyful is a person who finds wisdom. No, for the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Which is true. King James says, for whom the Lord loves, corrects or punishes. And they'll say, oh, well, God is punishing Job, or God permitted that the devil would hurt Job, or God is punishing you, or God is punishing you for this. And that's how we grew up. In any area, Catholicism, Protestant, and when something bad happens, oh, well, God is punishing me. Well, with our bad behavior, we give place to the devil. If you're going to say that someone is punishing you, it's the devil. It's the devil who is coming against you, and you're going to give him, you're going to open doors for him, and he'll destroy your life. But it's not God. Such an amount of pastors that I've seen, and it's sad, but I get certain emails and certain announcements of, oh, so-and-so got in with a woman, or in English they call it embezzlement. Embezzled money. But you know what's going to happen is the devil will destroy those people. Especially if they're pastors, more if they're servants of the Lord. Amen. What does the Bible say? Well, if the pastor is hurt, then the sheep will suffer. Which is what Satan wants. Now, I believe it's in Hebrews, which speaks on discipline. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as my sons, as two sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son who he receives. Now, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Can you see it there? So when they see the word chasten, oh, quickly, well, God punishes you, God chastens you. He gives you an illness to teach you something. Again, you have to understand the word chasten. It's speaking on how the Lord, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So is God someone in the flesh or the spirit? The Lord told the Samaritan woman in one of the Gospels, he said, God is a spirit. So God, being a spirit, where does God deal with? In the spirit. God does not deal with you in our flesh. When God chastens you, it's in your spirit. As to say, with the word of God, he corrects you. Perhaps with a teaching, where the Lord himself will tell you, son, this is not correct. You're not acting correctly here. Son, this is wrong. And it hurts you because you love God so much, where you say, oh, the Lord, oh, it hurts me to have done this. Oh man, I feel so bad. That's chastening of the Lord. Not with a healing, are you understanding this? Not with an illness. Now, notice the context here. You have to see the context. Where are we? Hebrews. What is it? 12? 5 and 6. I think that multimedia is being charged with the time, with the amount of time that the verse is up there. Hebrews 12. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Do you understand how the Lord scourges you? With the word. He can speak to you through the spirit. He can speak to you through a teaching. Have you heard people? You can see how words also rebuke, chasten. Have you heard people, for example, will say, wow, I'd rather have been had a slap on the face than for him to tell me that. Have you heard that? I prefer it because words can chasten you, chastise you, and which is how the Lord can also chastise you with the word. When there's a correction, but he's not just, oh, well, he scourged me with an illness. Well, if God is dealing with you, think about it. If God is testing you with a cancer, then why ask for prayer? Brother, well, it looks like God is testing me with this illness. Then deal with it. Don't ask for prayer. God is testing you to teach you something. To test your faith, is what they say. Someone say amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The Holy Spirit is reminding me something. It's 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 2. There we go. Thank you. In verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Oh yeah, so God tests you, but not with evil. God, God is not sending you cancers or things of the sort. Again, when God tests you, what he does is he makes you see what's in your heart, in your spirit. The way God tests you. Okay, look, one time, not from here, from church, thank the Lord. Although some of you here have told me some things that, man, well, anyways. And I'll ask them, which church do you go to? Oh, well, you come here, right? Well, but one time, a brother in Christ from here, from Douglas, my God, he said that he went to go do a job somewhere from contracting in at a house. And look, Brother Hughes, I entered, and there was $200 there. And I was in need of money. And you know, he was very dramatic, and I just needed money. I mean, it was almost like a movie what he was sharing with me. But it was something that happened to him. But look at what he said. God bless him, but don't be saying those things, please. Please. He said, and I know, brother, that God put that money there. Oh, God put them there. Yes, yes. Well, you know, God through the owners of the people put in their hearts, oh, leave that money there. I said, oh, and what for, brother? God probably told the owners of the home to put that money there. Because God was testing me to see how to see how holy I was. As in, God was testing him. So again, don't be saying those things. And then saying that I'm your pastor. So let's go to James 1. James 1. Verse 13. Again, this is how this brother told me. Let no one say that he was tempted. You see, if I would steal those $200. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. James 1:13. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone with evil. Can you see it here? So don't be saying that God is tempting you. And that God that put that money there. Amen. You see, so some are thinking, like in the ghetto, and what if I had just taken it, you know? Well, just that you're just a stealer. You don't trust in God. Have you heard people who will say, well, at least it was a big house and they have a lot of money. What do you care? It's their money. It's not your position. But you see, we have that idea. Oh, well, he has money. He has to help me. Who said? We have to renew our minds with the Word of God. Changing our way of thinking. Hallelujah. No, you know what happened with that brother? Well, what happened with that brother? Brother in Christ, Brother Hughes. Nothing? Well, simply, if he hasn't renewed his mind in that, and perhaps in the past he had issues of perhaps stealing things, well, the devil is the one who tempts. But we read here in Thessalonians, correct? That God tests your heart. So let's see that same example. I'll tell you how God tests the hearts of the people. 1 Thessalonians 2. First Thessalonians 2:4. So it says that God tests the hearts of the people. So how could the Lord have, you know how the Lord could have perhaps tested the heart of this brother in Christ? It's like this. After he resisted the temptation of the devil, that the Lord would have told him, son, what you wanted to do is because you do not trust in me. You do not believe that I am your provider. Which is, that's how God will test you, to show what's inside of you. You see the difference as to he provokes a cancer, an illness, or a disgrace. Some people have some very strange ideas because they don't know God. Oh, share another story, another anecdote. I have two different pastors who was or lives. I don't know if he still lives in Hermosillo, and then another one in Baja California. So much south or north, one of the two. But both shared a very similar story. They both wanted a car. In Baja California, it seems like he had a car that he used it so much, it was very old. He said, well, the Lord says, ask and you shall receive. Well, he needed a car. God knew that he needed a car to move around. And he said, Lord, send me a car. Look, you see how quickly I wore this one out. Over time, he said that he was going through one of the main roads there. And it seems that the road was very narrow. And in there came what they call an RV. And it seemed that it took over that narrow street, and it was an Anglo-Saxon. The RV took over the road. So the pastor had to get out of the way, and then thankfully there wasn't like a cliff or something there. It was just to the side of the road. But unfortunately the car that he was driving, I mean, it was already worn out. It gave out in that moment. So the man got out of the car and he said, oh, you know what? I don't want problems with the Mexican authorities. Well, why is that? Well, that's all he said. I mean, I'm not saying anything, but well, I don't want any problems. He said, look, I hope you don't call the police. He got him in his RV. And they went into the city again. I don't remember if it was in La Paz or I think it's Baja California South or perhaps here in Baja California. I don't remember. So the pastor said, and he took me to a car lot. A brand new one. He said, choose whichever one you want. He said, well, I mean, he got a car, I believe a Volkswagen. A small little Beetle. Well, say something. I mean, do you remember? Do you not? I mean, all right, thank you. Well, he got a very similar car, because there are other better cars, but he wanted like that one. Well, he later on started saying how God had sent him the car. So he made it so that the Anglo-Saxon got in the way, and I mean, that's not a way of understanding God. Better said, God turned it for good. He used that situation. God has many ways of sending him a car, and he didn't cause the accident. Amen. And then another one from Hermosillo said he was coming through the road in Nogales, headed towards Hermosillo, and he wanted a car. It was better said he didn't want another car. He wanted to change the color, but he didn't have the money. He didn't want to put in the money to paint the car. So he said, Lord, help me. I need money to buy another color that's not so dirty as this one. What's the least dirty color? The white? Something like that. Better said, it was a car that you could see all the defections of the car, and it wanted a white car. But the idea is this, because this is years ago that I heard of this. Oh, when he has headed on the road, on the four-lane road, the car had a flat tire, and the car turned over and fell on the other side, and it flipped over. Thankfully, nothing happened to him. People came over, they lifted it, they turned it over, changed the car, and it reached Hermosillo. But the insurance covered it, and when the insurance fixed it, they delivered the car painted how he wanted it. And he said, you see how God makes things different? So the man almost died. He didn't, but he almost died. So God is not puncturing tires or putting the foot in the way of the tire so it flips over. Better said, God used that to help him, but not that he caused it. That's not knowing God. and a big amount of people who preach this. God bless them. I'm not criticizing anyone, but I'm just saying, I can assure you that you've heard that. Now, in Romans 12, verse 3.
Digo pues por la gracia que me es dada a cada cual que está entre vosotros.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each other one, to each one a measure of faith. But to think soberly. Now in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, Romans 2:12, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Acceptable and perfect. Well, the will of God, acceptable and perfect. Well, those things happened to these two pastors by the good will of God. Things came for good, but it's not the highest, it's not the perfect will of God. You understand that? So what happened in those cases? Speaking of these two cases, of what I'm speaking to you. Now go to Philippians 1. Oh man, it's so much Bible. Well, yeah, out there it says church, correct? If it said a taqueria, then you'd be very full of tacos. Amen. Five more. Well, you've had 10, brother. One doesn't matter. Another five. We fill you up with stew. Philippians 1, verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul was in jail here. You think God wanted him in jail? No. He wanted him free. But now that Paul was there, the devil was the one that put him there. So God used that avenue, that circumstance, to turn it for good. Notice in the New Living Translation. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news, or the good news of the gospel. New International Version. Now I want you to know that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. So God, using that circumstance that the devil came to use, because you see, these pastors, the pastor from Baja California, if he would have gone to the other side, he would have died there because there was a cliff there. But he went to the other side. Again, how many people who just, the car barely turns and it crushes them? Or something happens there and they get asphyxiated or something with the other pastor. But better said, God turned or grabbed that situation and turned it for good. But it's not God who did that. It's just those people who just say that, for those who don't truly know how God works. Thank the Lord that the pastor who needed a new car got a new Volkswagen, the one that he wanted. But not to say that God was the one. So God planned it that way? No, that's not true. That's not knowing God. Hallelujah. I'm about to finish. Oh, thank the Lord. It's very good when I'm speaking. Now Job 5:18. Job 5:18. He shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7 no evil shall touch you. For he bruises, but he binds up. For he bruises and he binds up. He wounds, but his hand makes whole. So he'll smack you and he'll also start healing at the same time. That doesn't even make any sense. He gives you a kick and then he's pampering you.
Él es quien hace la llaga y él la vendará. No,
He wounds, but his hands makes whole. No, Isaiah 53:4-5 says that he, Isaiah 53:4-5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet he esteemed his stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, but was bruised for our iniquities. So you have to understand the sovereignty of God. When God directs you to do something, to be dedicated to something, live in a certain place, that's the sovereignty of God, by His will. Which is why we have to seek direction from Him. But they apply the sovereignty as if God just does whatever He wants. Well, doesn't make all of you come to church at the same time. Doesn't make you pray. Doesn't make you give, etc. There you can see that God is not doing whatever He wants. When God does something, He does it through man. He does it through His children. He could also use pagan people. But man, human beings have to respond to God. So God doesn't do whatever He wants. That's not true. If we're going to say that God does whatever He wants, we have to clarify. We have to clarify God does whatever He wants. Because when you have that idea that God is the cause of everything and God is in everything, good or bad, then that means that God caused that a banquet was assaulted, a child was committed suicide, a child was sexually assaulted. Well, why even pray at that point? Why ask God for something if at the end God he'll do whatever He wants? That way of thinking is very wrong. That's a very bad doctrine. If you're going to say that God is sovereign, God is sovereign. If it were for me, I wouldn't live here. But God moved me here and I submitted to Him to continue His plan and His sovereignty. Do you understand the difference? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. How many of you understood something of that? A very bad culture, especially disgraces happen and the devil is enlightened. Actually, here in the United States, I don't know if in other countries, but when something happens, insurance or homes, something happens, a disgrace happens, in English, they'll write it down, acts of God. Did you know that? That's how it is, acts of God. That's how they write it down in the insurance. Well, now you understand why people are so hardened against God. Understand why people don't want to know anything about God, or you speak to them about God and saying God is good, God has a plan for their life. They don't believe you. The word sounds very ugly with what I'm going to say, but so much spiritual trash. All just spiritual waste. Blaming God for everything. Why not say, on the contrary, as I told you on Thursday, the world is so situated, so well situated, that if God made it so that if the sun moved just a few inches forward, we'd burn up, or a few inches farther, we would have been frozen. Why does the earth spin on its axis and not just fall into space? Because of God. Because of the oxygen that we have here, the petrol that we have here. No, we're not gonna finish the earth if we use up the natural gases that God gave us. We can't just live off of solar panels and electric cars. I mean, I'm not against it, but you can't make it so that the whole world moves and the whole economy moves on solar panels and electric cars. Well, Brother Hughes, I like electric cars. Well, that's fine. The issue is when the government pushes it on you, he says you have to drive an electric car. Well, what if I want to use a bike? Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. What if I want to come in church in a chariot with horses? Well, that's my liking, but the government shouldn't tell us where to live, what to eat, what not to eat. I mean, we're gonna prohibit with sodas with carbonation. Well, I mean, it's not good to just drink soda, you know that, or be addicted on it, but it's something that you have to decide. Glory to God. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians 9. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11. My apologies. 2 Corinthians 8, 11. But now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to who one has, to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. So governments say that Jesus was a socialist. No, that's not true. Jesus never took, governments raise our taxes by force to give that money to those who do not work. It's true that there are people in need. There are those who truly need it. I'm in favor of that. But there are those who are not. Amen. And then 15 says, as it is written, he who gathered much has nothing left over, and he who gathered little has no lack. So Jesus said that Jesus was a communist. Everyone in common. He wasn't saying that. He's saying is the difference is, if I have, and I want to bless you, do you see how the government doesn't have to obligate me? Amen. And I want to bless you. I want to help you. It's a God through me. The other way, governments at force, oh, we're going to remove this from you to pay the students who went to the university and pay off their debts. And you didn't go to university. And you're still paying a loan from years ago, but they have to remove your money to pay it for half the world. Something's not right there. Amen. I mean, something's not right there. We have to remove money to those who pay taxes to give it to people who come from other countries. But to the citizens, well, nothing. To the veterans that live in the streets, in the big cities. Amen. I'm not in favor of people just be living off of the government. I understand that there are people in need, and I will not criticize anyone. And I've always told you, if you receive help from the government, continue giving, continue sowing, continue applying the laws of sowing and reaping. But I'm saying in the natural, when you're a U.S. citizen, you live legally here, well, it's fine. But the bad is, the Bible says that he does not provide for his house is worse than an unbeliever. Very well. Thank you, Lord. So, again, how we see here, let's do it. Let's receive tithes and offerings. Again, stand on your feet now. Here in the congregation, the house of God, in the church. Again, thank you, Lord. You can also do it online. If someone received what was fed from the word, thank you, Father.
This is what eventually will pull you out of that problem, because the kingdom. And without mentioning names, and you already know my political stance. In this election, we want a specific man to win, but it's only going to be a 4-year. And then the midterm elections, sometimes governments switch, and we do want to be there an alleviation. But for how long? Don't put your Don't set your goal on the government. See that modified language I had to use. Father, thank you for helping receive your word. Thank you because you imparted revelation and knowledge to your children. Now we sow in the word that we have heard, kingdom of God, for our benefit. Benefit, Lord. Let it be in home or internet. There are ways to give electronically. We give glory and honor. We give honor, Lord, I believe, with every person that they have a financial harvest in this. That whomever sows has. Because just as in the natural, in agriculture, a seed has. There, we know there is a harvest. Well, we know we are in the expecting to receive from you. Was inspired by the Lord. In Philippians, gave them the opportunity to give. We are children of God, subsidiaries of the kingdom, and we think than the world does. And how unfortunately some Christians think. According to your word, period. Your word establishes forever. We give thanks and we speak. Bring a harvest to those who are going to sow. Maybe some of them want to give and desire to give, but maybe their situation is in a difficult standing, but they're going to believe you by faith. They're going to say, Lord, I believe you. And you honor that faith, that act of obedience. And I ask you to manifest yourselves in their lives in a financial way, that nothing be missing, and that you remind them that it is you who brought that. That it was from your favor and your grace. That they only acted on those laws of sowing and reaping. So that none of us say we deserve it. We don't use that language. But we say everything we have, every good we have is because you are good, for the grace of God. And now we understand with a bigger revelation what Paul said. What Paul said, here is. The self-promotion, it is excluded, not by us, but by the laws of faith. That you included us in your faith, that you provided us from your grace, that you provided from your favor, that you provided for the laws of sowing and reaping, that you provided seed. We give you all glory, and everything we have is only because of you, for your kindness. We don't self-promote on our own. We only do it because we love you. We obey because we love you. And we take those benefits to use for good. And we only use them to continue giving more. We give you glory. Raise your hands there where you are. Pray for you. Lord, in this week that is going to start, protect and take care of you. As a pastor, I speak multiplication. I speak healing, health, the favor of God. I cast out all acts of the devil against their lives. I speak that they hear the voice of the great shepherd, and I give you all glory, and I give thanks for my brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. I give you all honor and all glory, because when we ask for something in faith, we give you the authorization, and we're asking you to involve yourselves in our lives. Involve yourselves in our life. Give you that authority, Lord, because we recognize that we need you day by day, every day. We need you. We give thanks. We give all glory. Give honor. And everything we have spoken and asked for, we have done it with the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.